Some of you young ladies, God wants you to marry right more than you want to. Some of you young men, he's got the right one for you, but the devil's got some substitutes he wants to squeeze in on you to get you off the road, to get you to follow the sensual wisdom from below instead of God's from above. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The fear of the Lord. Measure your actions by what he thinks. Jesus said in John 15:14, he said over there, ye are my friends if you keep my commandments. How about your friends? Is it a friend that's going to lead you into dope, into alcohol, into adultery? That's not a friend. That's an emissary from the devil. You know that. You've got the word of God. You know that. That's the kind of wisdom you want to follow, is what comes from God's word, what is right. And I say this, if you've got it, if you've got the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and that's what the text says. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. It'll help you to rule your own spirit, to rely on God's promises, and then it'll help you to be real about yourself. The worst lie is the one you tell yourself. It's the one that can do you the greatest damage. Be honest about yourself. You don't have to follow the wrong crowd. You can say no. Yes, you can. You can say, no, that wouldn't please God. You say, well, they laugh at me. So what? Who's going to have the last laugh? That's the laugh that counts. Amen? Say, why am I doing this? Does it please God? That's the question. The question is, do I really love him? Do I love him that loved me first, that gave his son to die for my sins on the cross of Calvary? Yeah, we sang the little ditties and songs, and they got a lot of truth to them. We love him because he first loved us. He proved that love by giving his only begotten son on the cross of Calvary. Oh, yeah. We got a head start on the world if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. If we've been born again and our name's written in heaven, we've got a great head start. Don't let the devil's crowd catch up with you and run you off the road and make you a wreck in the ditch somewhere. No. Go ahead and honor him. Love him that first loved you. Be honest. Is it a real love? I want to say this. Time is going to pass. I could probably get some of these young folks to raise their hand. Oh, there was a time when they were in kindergarten and first grade and fourth grade and even sixth grade. And they were, you know, when they were in third grade, they were really looking up to all the big kids in the sixth grade. And then in the sixth grade, they were looking up to the big kids in the ninth grade. And then all of a sudden, they are ninth graders. And then they are 10th and 11th and 12th. And the time marched on. It passed on, didn't it? It got there. And the time is going to pass. I was thinking a while ago as the trio was singing, some of them graduated. They sat where you're sitting. And their lives have followed on, yours will. If you can follow the wisdom of God, the fear of the Lord that is the wisdom of God, oh, it'll help you to turn out right and have the best life God wants for you. He did say, love me. You love me if you keep my commandments. You make a choice. You make a choice. That choice will soon prove out because time will pass. Prove out to be a wise choice or an unwise choice. It'll happen, but be real about yourself. Do you really love God yourself personally? I want to say to you, the love and faith of mom and dad or teacher or preacher, you can't ride on that. It's got to be yours. You can't go through college on mama's faith. Pretty soon, you'll trip up and fall. You can't go through this life on daddy's faith. You've got to have a personal faith in Jesus Christ to follow his wisdom. A whole book of it here that tells you whether you're right or wrong. You got to go on your own. The scripture says that so then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Mama can't give an account for me. Daddy can't. Only between me and God. Between me and God. Do you really love him? Do you really love him? If you do, the choices you make will demonstrate whether you do. Really love him. I say this to the whole crowd today. It's one thing to say I love Jesus. It's something else to live in a way that says I love Jesus. Big difference. Big difference. Do you really, really love him? I think about the story, probably a fairy tale, but the story where the young princess was in a conversation with her suitor, with her perhaps husband-to-be, and he was telling her how much he loved her. And she said this to him. She said, oh, you don't really love me that much. He said, oh, yes, you're beautiful. I love you. You're just so pretty. It's beautiful. I love you. She said, you've never seen my sister. My sister's much prettier than I. And probably if you'd seen my sister, you would want her more than me. He said, no, you're beautiful. I love you. I want you. She said, well, but you've never seen my sister. She said, you know, she's just down the street. So he left and he went down the street and he looked at the sister and he came back. He said, well, she's not nearly as pretty as you. I love you. She said, no, you don't. If you really loved me, you wouldn't have went and looked at her. Right? And some of you only wanting to love Jesus because you've looked around. You better look at him and him only. And have your love committed to him and him only. That's the real thing. I'm saying to you, if you understand wisdom and you find wisdom in the fear of God is wisdom, it'll help you to rule your own spirit. It'll help you to rely and trust God's promises. And it'll help you to be real about your own relationship with Jesus. Do you really love him? I pray you do. And I know some of the testimonies of these young folks, so I can speak somewhat for them. But I ask the rest of you, you really love him? You really love him? Why don't you quit looking around then? Why don't you quit going down the streets to find somebody else? You really love him? I ask you today, do you love the one that loved you and died for you and paid for your sins? Have you received him as your Savior? Are you going to heaven today because you know he loved you and you love him because he died for your sins? I pray you do. I pray in this search for wisdom that you found it, that you've let God point it out to you, and you've accepted it. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Here's the big question today to all of us, not just to the grads, but are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Do you love him? Is it real? Are you following the wisdom from above or below? How is it with your soul today? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Is Jesus your Savior? Do you really love him? I pray you do. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, there's some folks today that I hope was able to listen and understand. They either love you or they don't. They either real with themselves or they're not. They either really know what the wisdom of God is or they don't. Or whether they're following your way from above. Or the many ways from below here that so many are following today. I pray you'd bless in the invitation. I pray if there's one here unsaved, they'd come forward in the invitation and receive Christ as Savior. Lord, there may be some folks here you've asked to do other things, rededicate a life or move a membership or something else. But as we give an invitation today, Father, we are mostly and first concerned, how is it with their soul? Do they really love Jesus? Do they really know? If they died today, they'd go to heaven. Bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ or whatever God's asked you to do, you come, you do it as we sing. Just as I As we sing, will you come?
Just
what has God spoken to you about?
And waiting not to rid my soul.
Which wisdom are you following today? Are you still searching for it?
To thee whose
blood where are you looking?
Can cleanse each pot, O Lamb of God, I come.
We'll sing another verse.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears with him, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment. Music will play for just a minute. Invitation's still open. Could be somebody ought to say in their heart, whether they come to the altar or not, Lord, I've been following the wrong path of wisdom. I strayed away. I listened to others. What I'm doing is not pleasing to you. I need to turn around, go back where I departed from you. You know, the good thing about the Lord is he gives us not only a second chance, but many chances. And we can repent, we can return, we can get back where we're supposed to be. Oh, it'd be best if we never left. And we may have to go back with some scars because we went astray. But he still lets us back. And the scripture says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. That means you can get a brand new start. Brand new start. God loves us enough to not make us do right, but give us the opportunity to do right. To let us be our own chooser. Make our own decision. These young folks growing up had a lot of decisions made for them in their homes, in their school, in their church. Now, very soon, they'll be making a lot of the decisions themselves. We'll be praying for them that they'll make the right decisions based on what they've learned that was right, based on the wisdom of God, the fear of the Lord. We'll be praying for them. But it'll be up to them. It'll be up to them. It's up to you right now. Are you living for the Lord or not? All right. Thank you, folks. In the congregation, we'll have the processional. Thank you.
Well, we'd like to welcome you tonight to the 2018 service of our graduating class, and we're so glad that you've come to enjoy this with us. We want to be able to start tonight and this service in prayer, if we could. So if you'd bow with me tonight, bow your heads as our singing group comes now. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you tonight for your many blessings. I pray, dear God, that you would bless these graduates. I pray that tonight, through the preacher that we've invited, dear God, to give the charge, dear God, that he would speak to these young people's hearts, and that you would have our graduates, dear God, not only those already in the work and those that will go out into the work from this place, dear God, that you would use their lives mightily in the work of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, young folks. I have to get to heaven to really understand, I think, how high the price really was. But we appreciate the good message and song, and the group doing it for us tonight. It's my privilege to introduce our friend of our ministry, Brother David Bedell. Many of you know his mother, Sister Dorothy Bedell here, Dr. Dorothy Bedell in our church, and been a blessing to us in college and all of that. And Brother David has been pastor down in Arcadia now for about 8 years, been in the ministry, and he was a long time assistant pastor down there. and been in the ministry about 40 years, so I feel some close kinship to him. I've been around just a little longer than that, but been a friend to our ministry, doing a great job for the Lord, and heads up a good Christian school group, and we just appreciate him very much, and we are proud that he agreed to come and bring the charge to our graduating class tonight, and he's no stranger to most of you. Brother David Bedell, you come on, please.
Brother Carter, Vice President Parsons, members of Landmark Baptist Church, faculty of Landmark Baptist College, and friends, my father and mother joined Landmark Baptist Church almost 20 years ago. My father said this church reminded him of the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas, pastored by J. Frank Norris. As many of you know, J. Frank Norris could be considered the father of the independent Baptist movement in the South. My father went there in the 40s, and Bible Baptist Seminary at that time was started because the Southern Baptist colleges had apostatized from the faith. They no longer held this book to be the inspired, pure, preserved Word of God. And so at that time, it was necessary for great men of God, fundamentalists of their day, we're talking about the 1920s, to leave the institutions of their day, the institutions in which they grew up, and start all over again, many times in storefronts, many times with no funds at all, but they knew they had the Word of God, and they knew they needed to preserve it. When the Puritans and Baptists came to America, they established colleges that firmly believed the Bible was the Word of God. It's hard to believe it, but Harvard and Yale were started to train preachers, Bible-believing preachers, but they quickly apostatized and others had to take their place. Princeton College, today recognized as one of the finest academic schools, was replacing Harvard and Yale as a Bible-believing college when Harvard and Yale left the faith. But then Princeton fell, and college after college has fallen to the forces of apostasy. Every generation needs to reevaluate their position on colleges. I can no longer recommend the college I attended in Springfield, Missouri, which is a shame. At one time, it was a great Bible college and produced great preachers across America. I believe that every Bible-believing church needs to have a Christian school, if at all possible. A few years ago, somebody asked me when we would close our Christian school. And I said, when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers. Now, that was not just a boast, an idle boast. I don't think I said that in the flesh. I really meant it. Because if the public schools are going to teach evolution and humanism and socialism, we as fundamental independent Baptists need to stand up against that and say the truth is still out there. I don't care how big the school is. It could be large, it could be small, but it needs to be there. Every community needs to have a Christian school. Faith is very important to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. However, though there are those in the world today who would like to rob our young people of their faith in God and faith in His preserved Word, and I suggest to you, this is the greatest form of child abuse. It's one thing to mess with somebody's body or with somebody's mind, but to mess with their soul is demonic and must be opposed by God's people. When we talk about faith, we're not talking about a blind faith. It's a faith based on evidence. A few years ago, I was talking to a fellow that was a member of a cult, and he said, Jesus Christ came over to Central America and preached to the Indians there. And I said, what proof do you have of that? He says, well, I don't have any proof. You just have to take it by faith. Friends, that's a blind faith. It's a worthless faith. Our faith is based on the eternal Word of God. Amen. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, my text tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, I have to admit to you that through most of my ministry, I have not fully understood Hebrews 11, 1. I've always thought that faith was something that was immaterial. But here in this passage, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I hold in my pocket here a key. This is substance. This key will get me into my car and drive me home tonight. It doesn't work in other cars, it works in my car. And I'm going to suggest to you that the Word of God has substance just like this key, because it opens up our understanding to the world and to the universe in a remarkable, remarkable way. In other words, if you'll simply by faith take this book as the Word of God and use it as a key, it will unlock truths in science and history and in morality and all of life. It's an amazing book, absolutely amazing. There was a fellow by the name of William Wright. He was an Irish missionary. And he read in the Bible many times about the Hittites. But back in his day, the late 1800s, nobody that was in scholarship at least, believed the Hittites even existed. They said it was a myth, that the Bible was telling stories when it talked about the Hittites. But William Wright said, if it's in the Bible, it's true. And so he went out and he performed archaeological work and he found the Hittites. And today there's no scholars that disagree with William Wright. They know that the Bible is correct, that the Hittites were once a great empire. Matthew Maury read in the Bible that there are paths in the sea. Nobody knew about this. He's the father of modern oceanography. And he went out and he charted the Gulf Stream and other streams of water that move in the sea. Louis Pasteur, the great Christian French scientist, lived in a day when Charles Darwin began to publish his theories. And Darwin said that life could come from non-life. And Pasteur said life only comes from God or a pre-existing life. And he designed an ingenious experiment to prove that to the world. And to this day, the world agrees with Pasteur. And there's been no other explanation found for the origin of life. There are many other examples in the Bible how the Bible gives us amazing insight into life. And I'm saying to you that those of us who believe this book are not idiots. We're not fools. We do so because of strong intellectual reasons as well as reasons of the heart. This Bible says the universe had a beginning. Scientists now agree. This Bible says that the universe is expanding. Scientists now agree. It doesn't matter whether they agree or not, but I'm just saying this, that it was in the Bible before scientists found this out. Matter and energy are no longer being created. The universe is winding down and will wear out. At any one time, there's night and day on this circular planet. The earth is suspended in space. Physical laws are constant. Water and wind run in a cycle. Springs and valleys exist in the bottom of the sea, and air has weight. Now, what we're talking about right now is not just a matter of intellectual fancy, but we're talking about the eternal destiny of souls. In other words, if you believe this book, it makes difference in life and death. Let me illustrate that by telling you a story about a Hungarian doctor by the name of Ignaz Semmelweis. Semmelweis worked in the Vienna General Hospital, and he noticed that the women who came to the hospital to give birth to children, many of them died. What a tragedy it was. Young women in the prime of life, thinking they were going to get the best possible care of their day, came to the General Hospital of Vienna, and many of them died. I'm going to tell you what was happening there. It was absolutely unbelievable by today's standards. But what they were doing is these doctors were performing autopsies on dead bodies and then going into the maternity wards and delivering babies without washing their hands. Unbelievable. And so many of the women were dying. And the doctors could not recognize what they were doing was wrong. Semmelweis noticed that one of his friends pricked his finger while he was performing an autopsy. And within a few hours, he was dead, and he died in the same fashion as these young women. And so Dr. Semmelweis said, there's contamination in these dead bodies that's being introduced into these women. And if we would just wash our hands, it would make all the difference in the world. And so he became the leader of that hospital, and he established a rule. He said, from now on, everybody's got to wash their hands after they perform an autopsy. They started to do that, and the death rate dropped to less than 1%. I mean, he was right, but it wasn't Semmelweis that was right. It was the Word of God that was right, because in the Old Testament law, God commanded that there should not be contact with dead bodies. And if there were, then you had to separate them, and you had to wash your hands. This is a matter of life and death. Yes. I mean, friends, it's not just a matter of knowing the truth, but we've got to be passionate about it, because the truth will save lives and deliver souls from hell. Amen. It's not just an intellectual thing.
Yes.
I believe that there are so many consequences for rejecting the Word of God in history. I would suggest that America could have avoided a civil war if we had simply gone by the Word of God and followed the rules of indentured servanthood. It would have avoided brother against brother, the most agonizing moment of American history. But we rejected the Word of God, and the results of that have haunted us until now. I believe America could have perhaps escaped the Great Depression if we had followed the rules of the Old Testament in terms of debt and year of Jubilee. But we followed the rules of man, and it got us into terrible trouble. And America today is headed for a terrible catastrophe because we have nullified the law of God by recognizing same-sex marriage and the abortion of unborn children, and the judgment of God is inevitable. It's falling on America, and you guys and gals are the hope of America to stop that. What we believe and what we feel in our hearts really makes a difference. There are some that believe the truth but are not passionate about it. Years ago, King Henry IV was a Protestant king of France. And the Catholics rejected him because he was a Protestant. And he thought, you know, I can just become a Catholic. In other words, it didn't matter to him what he believed. It didn't matter what the Bible said. He wanted political expediency. He wanted recognition. And so he said, Paris is certainly worth a mass. And he converted to Catholicism. Graduates, I want to suggest to you that you will be more broadly accepted in this world if you drop the principles you've learned at Landmark Baptist College, if you will believe that we do not have an inspired and preserved Bible, and you'll not be considered out of date, old-fashioned, out of step with the times. But it doesn't matter. You must hold the truth. Compromise will get you nowhere. And I've lived long enough to see so many of my friends that 20 years ago began to get to compromise, it's got them nothing. Life is hard. There are many discouragements. But if you feel passionate about the truth, you will preserve with God's help. The ministry is hard. Teaching is hard. Mission work is hard. But if you're passionate and you see the lost dying and on their way to hell, and Jesus Christ makes the difference, you will continue on no matter what. Church splits, financial difficulties, medical emergencies, you will continue on because you know the truth, and you know the truth will set people free. Let me make three recommendations to the graduates. Number one, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. I cannot think of an instruction more important than this. Spend lots of time in the Word of God. Never get too busy to read God's Word. Hide it in your heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just recently, one of the men in my church who cleans houses came to me, and he said the man he was working for brought him a list of discrepancies in the Bible. And he said, this shows that Jesus and Paul were on different pages. And immediately I thought of 2 Peter 3:16, where Peter says, Paul's written some things that are hard to be understood, but yet they are Scripture. And I preached a sermon on it, and it just melts away once you start to compare what Jesus said and Paul said. But I tell you what, I wouldn't have been able to answer this man's objections if I was not a student of the Word of God. People come to preachers for help with their marriages, and I think of Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I don't know any man that does that, but I tell you what, if we did that, it would eliminate our problems. The Bible has the answer to every problem of life. Number two, I would suggest that you find a cause in the Bible to which you can devote yourself. William Wilberforce became a Christian in 1785. It made major changes in his life, as it ought to. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so he wrote in his diary, in Scripture, no national crime is considered so frequently or condemned so frequently as oppression and cruelty. And so William Wilberforce headed the parliamentary campaign against the British slave trade and ended slavery in 20 years because of his faith in the Word of God. He was driven by a principle that he received from the Word of God. Dorothea Dix, a school teacher, was inspired by Psalm 140:12, which says, "I know the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor." And so she contributed her efforts to reforming the treatment of the mentally ill, who are often housed in prisons in horrible conditions. These poor, misunderstood people were neglected and mistreated. Dorothea called for Christians to care for the poor as the Savior did. Her campaign resulted in the building of 32 institutions in the United States where the mentally ill could be cared for more in a more compassionate way. My favorite one, in 1780, Robert Raikes walked down the steps from his second-story printing office to the street below. There he encountered a washwoman that complained that the swearing of children on the Sabbath day made it sound more like hell than heaven. At that moment, God seemed to speak to Raikes' heart. He took 30 children off the street and began to teach them how to read. Their first lessons were God is one and God is love. He cleaned them up, gave them clothes, taught them that vice is preventable, and that a good example can draw others like a magnet. Other children were drawn, so the one school grew to 7 schools. And by the time Robert Raikes died, over 400,000 children were enrolled in Sunday schools. Now, see, this is where the Word of God motivates us. And graduates, you have chosen to come to a college that is sponsored by a church that has a bus ministry, and has a Christian school, and has a youth camp, and has a youth ministry. I'm telling you, this is where the passion comes out. Amen. You can learn all these great things in the classroom, but unless you go out door-to-door soul winning, unless you work on a bus route, what good is it? Amen. And then finally, share your faith with others. I think as I look across my ministry, perhaps one of the things I should have done more is draw attention of the young people I taught to the great works of God and say, now look what God did. I've been doing this much more often now. But when a bill is paid, look what God did. We had no idea how we were going to pay that bill. Look how that person was healed. They were dying. They were going to die. And God healed them. This is the work of God. A few years ago, the Florida Association of Christian Colleges and Schools asked me to write a book on the history of that organization. The Florida Association of Christian Colleges and Schools was founded by Dr. Al Janney. And it just so happened that my family was a member of his church down in Miami, as was Rick Michaud at the time. And I was visiting Dr. Janney. He lives in Orlando. And he said, David, he was speaking about my mother, if evidence was found that Jesus was the illegitimate son of a German mercenary soldier, it would not shake your mother's faith one bit. Now, I had to stop and think about that because I'd never heard anybody say anything like that. But most of you know that people who do not believe the Bible have a problem with the virgin birth of Christ. And so they say it was an illegitimate birth, which I suggest to you is blasphemy. And I don't even like to repeat something like that. But I will say it was the faith of my mother and the faith of my father that guided me through life and increased my own faith. How important that is for parents to share with their children their faith and what God is doing. I think of Timothy. Timothy did not have a godly father. And yet because of his mother and his grandmother, he became a very godly man. Look what God has done. Tell people about what God has done. When I was 12 years old, the Lord called me into the ministry. And I told my father, and my father said, if you're going to be a pastor, get a background in education before you go to Bible college. Because many churches are starting Christian schools, and you need to know how to run a school. So I obeyed my father, and I actually went to a secular state college. I remember the summer before, we were in summer camp, and a Bible college student said, David, if you go to that state university, you'll lose your faith. You're making a big mistake. However, I went, and just the opposite occurred. I found that my professors were very learned in their narrow areas of pursuit, but when they talked about life, they were idiots. They were ignorant. And I would make an appointment to go and talk to them. And if it was fungus, he knew all about fungus. If it was marine anatomy, he knew all about that. In their fields, they were experts. They were PhDs. When it came to Christianity and life in general, they were idiots. And you know what this did? It confirmed my faith. Amen. I came out of a secular university stronger in my faith than when I went in. Now, I know that's counterintuitive, and I don't recommend that, but I'm saying the reason I was able to do that is because of the faith that my parents instilled in me. And this is today why I have a passion. This is why the ministry sometimes can be very, very hard, and having a Christian school can be very, very hard. You think every day about giving up. But it's the passion that drives me. Because I was in the classes when they said, we don't need God. God is irrelevant. This book is a myth. I heard them say it. And friend, it made me angry. Now, I believe as Christians, we ought to be kind and gentle and meek and so forth. When it comes to wrong doctrine, wrong beliefs, we've got to be fighters. That's the definition of fundamentalism. Orthodoxy is what's right, but fundamentalism is taking a stand and fighting for what's right. It's all the more important in these last days where iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus said something that's very haunting. It bothers me. You can't get away from this. In Luke 18:8, Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The question is not answered. It's just left hanging there. But I would suggest to you, by observation, it looks as though faith is decreasing. It looks like it's harder than ever to build an independent Baptist church. Our numbers are getting smaller, and people are getting discouraged. I've had people just get discouraged because so-and-so wasn't coming to church anymore. Members of Landmark Baptist Church, let me tell you something. Here tonight, we probably have the largest Sunday night crowd. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just saying on my own. We probably have the largest Sunday night crowd of any Baptist church in Florida. Most Southern Baptist churches have stopped even having Sunday night services. Friend, just being here means an awful lot. When people look around and see you here, the candles are burning brightly, supporting the ministry of a fundamental Bible-believing preacher. Oh, you don't know the effect you're having and how important what you guys are doing here. Believe that God has raised up Landmark Baptist College for such a time as this. You can see the evident hand of God's blessing here, and I think I know the reason. Because God has found some folks here that will be true to his word. Amen. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Friend, will you have a perfect heart toward God? Because God is looking to use you in an incredible way.
Thank you, Dr. Bedell. Amen. We do live in a day and age of apostasy, and we evermore need more and more fundamentalists. At this time, we're going to have our non-academic awards, and to be followed up with our academic awards. And so, at this time, let me grab the plaques. Don't worry, guys, we're not going to give the roses to you. All right. First of all, this is speaking of fundamentalism, this first non-academic award is something that is near and dear to my heart, and this is the Dr. J.B. Buffington Award. For those of you that know Dr. Buffington, and we call this here at the college the Fundamentalist Award, this is for someone who's shown that they believe in the distinctives, Baptist distinctives that we believe in here, and they believe in the Bible and love God and the local church. And so let me read it to you tonight, and then we'll read the recipient. Landmark Baptist College, to be it known to all in recognition of his demonstrated love for God, the Holy Scriptures in the local church while standing firm for the Baptist distinctives and the fundamentals of the faith once delivered to the saints. The J.B. Buffington Award is presented to George Acquis. This next award again, and many of you knew some of these men that were giving these awards. If you knew Dr. J.B. Buffington, then you know that he was a fundamentalist. And this next award is the Dr. Gary Herring Award, and it is given to those that show exceptional compassion and make a difference in the lives of our students on campus. This does not have to be a student. It could be someone in our church or someone that has just affected our campus and our students well with compassion. But this year it is a graduating young lady. Landmark Baptist College is happy to give this award. It says, "Be it known to all that in recognition of her demonstrated exceptional compassion and making a difference in the lives of those around her, the Dr. Gary Herring Award is presented to Abigail Sullivan." We give a couple of different awards away, but this year we have the Shirley Fake Award, and we have the Dr. Dale Fake Award as well, but that will not be given away this year. But this is something that these are people that came and have, in years past, before my time even, gave themselves in the college, in the service of our college. And the Shirley Fake Award is for someone who has made a difference in the lives of our students. And this young man that won this award this year is someone who has given himself to his student body. And this year it says, "The Landmark Baptist College, be it known to all that in recognition of him giving himself to make a difference in the lives of the students at Landmark Baptist College, the Shirley Fake Award is presented to Jesse Maxwell." This is an award that's special to our church, very special to our church, and it's near to dear to our heart. Something that we began to give away last year, it's the Faithfulness Award, and it's called the Brother Wally Hartwig Award. And I don't believe that there is another person that I have spent time with that I believe every church should have someone that they can look to and say, that's a faithful man, like we had one with Brother Hartwig. And this year, we have more than one here in our church, and we gave this award to Mrs. Harvey last year for her faithful service at the college. And this year, this young lady, I'll say it that way, has invested herself in our college for years, and every year she calls our college and wants a list of our students so that she can begin praying for them. And so even though she's not able to teach in the classroom anymore, she has become a prayer warrior for our students and our staff. The award says this: "Be it known to all that in recognition of her exceptional faithfulness in ministry, the Brother Wally Hartwig Award is presented to Dr. Dorothy Bedell." Would you stand and give her a round of applause for her service to Christ? I'm going to take this to her. At this time, we'll have our academic awards. Dr. Pitts.
A number of years ago, Mrs. Bedell came back to college to finish her doctoral work, and she was in a class or two of mine. I thought, this ought to be the other way around, amen? She ought to be teaching me. Oh, what a blessing. For the following awards, please come forward to receive your medallion. In recognition of outstanding academic achievement, the year 2018 salutatorian of Landmark Baptist College is Miss Abigail Sullivan. In recognition of academic excellence and the highest grade point average, the year 2018 valedictorian for Landmark Baptist College is Mr. Nathan Cox.
This time, preacher, if you would take your place to confer the degrees. Brother Dr. Bradley, would you help by making sure that the one that their name goes with the person, if it gets mixed up, if you get somebody else's, give it back to them, all right? If you don't get one, come see me so you can pay your school bill. And all right. Be it known to all of those present that upon recommendation of our faculty, by the authority of the local church and in the providence of God, Landmark Baptist College confers these degrees with all the rights, honors, and privileges and responsibilities thereunto pertaining. Rosalina Aquis is graduating with an Associate of Arts in Christian Womanhood. George Harris, graduating with Associates of Arts in Bible Pastoral. Kadisha Roll, Associates of Arts in Bible Biblical Studies. George Aquis, Bachelor of Arts in Bible Pastoral. Sharon Bazillion, Bachelor of Science in Christian Elementary Education. Bethany Carringer, Bachelor of Science in Christian Elementary Education. Nathan Cox, Bachelors of Arts in Bible Pastoral Summa Cum Laude. Amen. Kevin Hart, Bachelor of Arts in Bible Missions. Carrie Heiger, Bachelor of Science in Christian Secondary Education, cum laude. Jesse Maxwell, Bachelor of Arts in Bible Pastoral, cum laude. Ronaldo Maycock, Bachelor of Science in Christian Secondary Education.
That's my boy! Yeah.
Sarah Parker, Bachelor of Science in Christian Secondary Education, cum laude. Timothy Manis, Master of Science in Christian School Administration. Michael Mullins, Master of Arts in Biblical Studies. Lisa Howen, Master of Arts in Biblical Studies. Monica Young, Bachelor's of Arts in Missions. Abigail Sullivan, Bachelor's of Science in Secondary Education, Christian Education, magna cum laude. Amen. Amen. Edwin Roll, Bachelor's of Arts in Bible Pastoral. This concludes our conferring of the degrees. And at this time, we'd have a song of dedication, if the group would come.
As the sun rose that morning on a day of Job's trial, he rose up to serve God as any other day. Bound and determined to live in God's favor, and nothing else would stand in his way.
Then the messengers came one by one with their story. In just a few moments, Job lost all he had. From great wealth and riches to the health of his body, and even his children were dead.
The wife came before him to voice her opinion. She said, you should end this, just curse God and die. Job rose from the ashes, he looked toward the heaven. He brushed back the tears in his eyes.
He said, the Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When troubles come silently, blessed be the name. When storm winds blow violently, blessed be the name. When sin comes oppressing me, blessed be the name. I'll still serve God faithfully, blessed be the name. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've served him before and I'll serve today. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Lord.
Gentlemen, please remove your caps for prayer. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you and we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be in this place as we come together to celebrate, Father, to celebrate the hard work and the hours of laboring done for you. But more importantly, Father God, we come to celebrate what you've done in these graduates' lives, Father, your power of a great and almighty God. And Father God, we beg and we pray, Father, that you would place your hand upon them as they leave this place to go out to serve you, to give their lives to you, Father God, to be used of you, Father, to change a world in dire need of you, Father God. We ask that you'd please, as the charge was given to us this evening, the Lord, each one of us in each and every one of our hearts, Lord God, we would rely on you and draw closer to you, Father God, and get in your word, and Lord, we would stand in this dark day. We thank you, Lord, again for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, again for your Son, Jesus Christ. May you receive the honor and glory that you deserve. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is my great honor, on behalf of the Landmark Baptist College and the Landmark Baptist Church, to present to you the graduating class of 2018.
Thank everybody for coming. This is them. If you want to get down here and shake hands with them or make pictures, you're free to do so. There'll be some fellowship over later in the cafeteria. All right?